Trinadapi sunichena tarariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari harinama 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 ivakevalam kalo nastyeva 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 gatiranyata. Yesterday was the day known as Diwali or Deepavali or Deepamalika. It commemorates the day when Lord Ram, along with his consort Sita, Lakshman, and Hanuman, after years in exile, on the obedience of the promise of his father, after destroying the evil Ravan, finally the term that he had to spend in the forest was over, and so he returned to his capital city, Ayodhya. And the citizens greeted him with great love and affection. And throughout the Hindu world, especially in India, yesterday was a day when lamps are offered continuously. And also, for those who belong to the Vaishnava sect, this is the month of Kartik, the month of Damodar, and twice daily they offer lamps to the Lord. And these kinds of activities ensure all kinds of auspiciousness for the devotee. But today is yet another special day. It is the day that commemorates the occurrence 5,000 years ago when Lord Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. And this also in many places in India and around the world now, because of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada's movement, this day is very gorgeously celebrated as well. So the history, not story, history, as we hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam, is that 5,000 years ago, Krishna, he is a young boy at this time, 7 years old, and he sees that his father, he is the king of the cowherd community known as Vrindavan, and he sees that his father and many of the other cowherd men are busily engaged in preparing for a sacrifice. Now, although Krishna is a seven-year-old boy, and nobody in the village knows who he really is, they just think that he's just one of their village boys. But the amazing feature of this Vrindavan is that everybody loves this Krishna. Yes, they have their own sons and daughters and families, but the unique feature of this Vrindavan is that besides that, everybody has special attraction and love for Krishna. But what they don't know is that Krishna is the absolute truth, that Krishna is the God of all other gods. These are things which he will reveal at the end of his life when he speaks the Bhagavad Gita. The great rishis and sages of the time, they are aware of who Krishna is. But these residents of Vrindavan, they are completely unaware that Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth. So when Krishna sees that his father and the other residents are busily preparing for a sacrifice, Krishna very nicely asks his father, what is this arrangement? And so, Father Nanda, he sees that his boy is only 7 years old. How could he possibly understand all the intricacies? But he does his best to try to explain. He tells his son, we do this annual worship of the demigod Indra. Indra is in charge of the clouds. He's in charge of the rainfall. And Nanda Maharaj explains to Krishna that we are a cowherd community. We are simply taking care of cows. In order for the cows to live, they need nice grass. And the grass won't grow unless there's rain. Where I come from, Los Angeles, now it has been several years, no rain. And they're very, very concerned. Especially Los Angeles gets its water many miles away up north. So they're worried. No rain, no water, no water, no life. Perhaps they should do worship of Indra. But better they do worship of Krishna, as we will learn. So Nanda Maharaj explained to his son that we need to offer our yearly respect to Indra, just like in modern times, you have to pay your taxes. So 5,000 years ago, people understood that you also had to pay the yearly taxes to the presiding gods of the various material elements with which you are being sustained by. So Nanda Maharaj said, yes, we must do this. We must show our love and respect and worship of Indra, the god of the rain. Now Krishna, he had already detected that this demigod Indra was at this time a little proud, a little puffed up. And since Krishna is actually the boss of Indra, Krishna decided that he wanted to bring Indra down a couple of notches from his puffed up position. And at the same time, because when Krishna does something, he does many things by one activity. He's very cost effective. So Krishna also wanted to show his devotees, because remember I said, all the residents of Vrindavan, they simply love Krishna. That means they're all pure devotees. They have no material motives. They simply love Krishna out of love. As Srila Prabhupada once spoke, the residents of Vrindavan don't care whether Krishna is God or not. It doesn't matter. They simply love Krishna. If Krishna is God, oh yes, then I will worship him. That's okay. But that's not as advanced as that, no, whatever he may be, we simply love Krishna. That's the platform of the residents of Vrindavan. It's not conditional. We will worship Krishna because he's God. No, there's no condition. Just like any one of you, you have a child, yes? So you love your child regardless. He's your child. It's a he, right? Okay. Very handsome young man. You love your child. So you love your child regardless. There's not, you're not calculating, okay, I will love you if you do this. No. He's your son. You love him without any check. That's love. That's real love. No conditions. No conditions. So that's also the platform of love of God. The topmost platform of worship is that I love simply out of love. No other cause, no other reason, no condition. It's called unconditional love. And in your life, as we are human beings, if you have a husband or wife, or you have a friend where it's like that unconditional, that's worth millions of dollars. You can't put a price on it. If you have a relationship with somebody that's unconditional, don't ever lose it, because better than gold, an unconditional relationship. But we are being taught in this Krishna consciousness movement how to develop that unconditional love for Krishna. So Krishna wanted to also teach the residents of Vrindavan, who are all his pure devotees, that there is no need for them to worship anyone other than Krishna. That there is no need to worship any demigod or nothing. This was another thing Krishna was going to do by his antics. So two things he was doing at the same time: bringing Indra down from his pride and teaching the residents of Vrindavan there's no need to do anything but worship Krishna. So Krishna began to speak to his father a kind of atheistic philosophy. And who better to speak atheistic philosophy than God himself? So Krishna began to speak to his father. It's actually a philosophy that is there in the Vedas, karma mimamsa. Karma mimamsa is basically how the world is running right now. What is karma mimamsa? Whether there's a God or there's not a God doesn't really matter. Do your work. Do your job. That's what matters. So you may be Christian, Muslim, Jew, Hindu. Nobody really cares in the quote-unquote real world, at your office or whatever. What do they care about? Did you get the job done? That's what they care about. You may do this, you may dress like this, you may be a Republican, a Democrat. We don't care. Did you get the job done? Karma mimamsa is that philosophy. God or no God, everything depends on whether or not you properly execute your prescribed duties. But then Nanda Maharaj countered Krishna, saying, no, this is not right, Krishna. We have to do this sacrifice for Indra. It would not look good for us. But again, Indra said to his father, why we should worship Indra? He is pouring water in the ocean where it's not needed. And Indra can't do anything unless we do our prescribed duties anyway. So in this way, they went back and forth. But eventually, Krishna won the argument. So Nanda Maharaj said, okay, Krishna, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's first do our worship of Indra, and then we'll do what you want. Krishna said, no. There's not enough time for that. So then Krishna said, this is my proposal, my dear father. Our business is with the cows, the Brahmins, and this great hill known as Govardhan. Because the cows, they graze on this Govardhan hill. So this is our main thing that we depend upon, not Indra. Our real life is based on these three things: the Brahmins, the cows, and Govardhan hill. So because everybody in Vrindavan loves Krishna, they agreed to Krishna's proposal. And then Krishna gave a very elaborate description of how he wanted this to be done. He said everybody should dress up very nicely. And there should be sumptuous food. And Krishna gave a whole list of how many people eat here at this restaurant. Is it good? Yes. Why? Because it's prasad. It's special. It's blessed, holy food. So, Krishna gave a whole list of the menu. Make pakora, make samosa, rice, halava, rabri. He gave a whole dal. And Krishna also said, everybody in the village must be fed up to the neck. That means full. And he said, Krishna is not only that, Krishna said, also the cats and dogs should also be given nice, sumptuous food. And even the low caste, outcast people, let them also eat. So Krishna wanted to do a big, big, big feast of sumptuous food. Then he said, then that we should also dress the cows nicely with gold-plated ornaments, and the Brahmins, the priests, should be given charity, and we should circumambulate this Govardhan Hill. So the residents of Vrindavan did exactly what Krishna said. And as they were and Krishna himself was also circumambulating, all of a sudden Krishna manifested a separate form of himself and showed that he himself was Govardhan Hill. And this separate form of Krishna, which was huge, was eating all the offerings, just like our priest. Don't look. Don't look. Don't look. He's right now offering the food to Krishna. So this is called serendipity. Exactly what I'm talking about, he's doing. Don't you just love it? That's Krishna consciousness. You looked. Told you not to look. Okay, see? He's laughing. Good boy. So this huge form of Krishna was eating the offerings, just like now Krishna is eating the offering that the pujari is making. He's ringing the bell, and he's saying prayers. And when Krishna hears those prayers, he comes down and eats the offering. But how does he eat? His eyes. Because Krishna's senses are interchangeable. That's God. Like we can only see with our eyes, hear with our ears, right? One sense does. Krishna's changes are interchangeable. He can kill somebody just by glancing at them. He can create by glancing. He can do anything with any one of his senses. That's because that's the meaning of God. Nothing he can't do, and there's no limitations. Ananda. Everybody can say that name, Ananda? Ananda. You are very advanced. You see how nice he said that? That was, what is your name? Tamar. Wow. I'm very pleased to meet you. You will become a great devotee as you grow old. I can see that. Or you are an advanced soul. Someday he will be sitting here speaking. Mark my words. How old is he? How old are you?
5.
You're 5 years old. In 10 years, you'll see he'll be here. Preaching strong. May Krishna bless you. Let's all bless him. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this huge form that Krishna was manifesting, Krishna himself was also circumambulating and bowing down to, like everybody else. Meanwhile, up in the heavens, Indra is very angry, and he's getting more and more angry, and he's in his court, and he's saying, These residents of Vrindavan have defied me. I am the king of heaven. Who is these residents of Vrindavan? They're not doing their annual worship, and they're listening to this 7-year-old over-talkative child. Indra had become mad. He couldn't recognize, he couldn't accept that this was his boss. He had become bewildered. He could not recognize. So he kept saying that this Krishna was an ordinary, over-talkative, less intelligent child. So he became enraged. And he said, he called for these clouds of destruction. They're known as Sanvartika. These clouds are used when it's time for the universal devastation. But these clouds, they're actually persons. They were hesitant. They did not want to go on the mission that Indra was going to send them. Because Indra said to them, go to Vrindavan, devastate, pour down torrential rains, make that, destroy this Vrindavan village. They have enraged me. But these clouds, they didn't want to go. So Indra said, don't worry, I will also come, riding on my elephant with my thunderbolt. So for 7 days and seven nights, there was torrential rains, and there was freezing winds, and hail, and thunder, and lightning. So when this began, the residents of Vrindavan, another symptom of the residents of Vrindavan is that as soon as there is some danger, immediately they take shelter of Krishna. So they approach Krishna. Krishna, the water is rising. We are about to be deluged. Save us. So Krishna, we learn from the Bhagavad Gita, Kauntiya pratijanahi na me bhakta pranasyati. Krishna has Arjuna promise in the Bhagavad Gita, my devotee, my pure devotee is never vanquished. So what to speak of these residents of Vrindavan? They are his most intimate devotees and associates. So Krishna told the residents of Vrindavan, I have an umbrella. And so Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill. And the Govardhan Hill became the umbrella. And Krishna told everyone, come underneath this umbrella of Govardhan Hill. And Krishna held up the hill for 7 days with his left hand, just with his pinky, showing that he is almighty, unlimited. He lifted this Govardhan Hill, and everyone came underneath, and they were protected. And it was not that Krishna was struggling. No, he was effortlessly like this young boy. If this young boy picks up a mushroom, that's easy. It's no effort. So Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill was like a little child lifting a mushroom. So Krishna is holding up the hill, but one time there was a little slip. What was causing that slip? Krishna saw somebody. Somebody whose love for him makes him become a little distracted. And she's here on our altar. Srimati Radharani. Everybody can say, Jai Radhe! Yes. As Prabhupada writes in his books, there is no meaning to Krishna without Radharani. And there's no meaning to Radharani without Krishna. And the example, you take a flame, like these candles, and we're all going to offer candles, right? Right after this. So when you're offering the candle, The flame has two things, heat and light. Those two energies are simultaneous with the flame. So those two energies of heat and light exist alongside the flame. So that's why it is said Radha and Krishna are one. Because as soon as there's Krishna, there has to be Radharani. They cannot be otherwise. Just as with a flame, you have to have the energies of heat and light. So Krishna is holding up the hill for 7 days, and finally Lord Indra realizes that he's made a big miscalculation. And he comes to his senses, and he tells the clouds, "All right, come back, stop." And so the water subsides. Everything is nice and beautiful. All the residents come out underneath Govardhan Hill. Krishna puts the hill back. And Indra is on his way. And when he comes, he's accompanied by a transcendental cow known as Surabhi. But before that happens, the residents of Vrindavan, especially the men, they go to Nanda Maharaj and they tell Nanda Maharaj, "There is something amazing about your son. We can't figure it out, but now we have seen it." There had already been several incidents right from the time Krishna was born. Several demons had come to kill Krishna, and each one was defeated. Right when Krishna was an infant, all the way up to this time, he's 7 years old, one after another, a demon was sent by King Kamsa, but Krishna took care of it. So now, seeing Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, all the other cowherd men go to Nanda Maharaj and say, "What is there something peculiar and wonderful about your son?" So Nanda Maharaj says, "Okay, I will tell you what my guru Garga Muni told me. When Krishna was very young, Garga Muni was the family priest, and he had come at the right time to perform the name-giving ceremony for Krishna and his brother Balaram." So Nanda Maharaj said, "Yes, Garga Muni had told me previously that my son would be just like Narayan." Everybody can say?
Narayan.
Narayan is what most people understand to be God. That's who they worship. The four-handed form of Krishna known as Narayan. So Garga Muni had told Nanda Maharaj that previously Krishna was the son of his friend Vasudev, and Krishna had done all these different things, and Garga Muni said, "I understand everything about your son, most people don't." And he said to him, "Your son will be just like Narayan in opulence and power." So Nanda Maharaj revealed to the residents of Vrindavan that, yes, it appears that what Garga Muni said has come true. But all the residents of Vrindavan, like Nanda Maharaj, concluded, Krishna may be this, Krishna may be that. You know what? We simply love Krishna. And that is what is Vrindavan. Our temple president, Sandamani Devi Dasi, you go to Vrindavan every year, right? Yes. She goes to Vrindavan every year because she is also following in the footsteps of those residents of Vrindavan, and she wants to come to that platform that she loves Krishna without any reservation. She simply wants to love. So, who else wants to come to that platform? Who else wants to come to that platform of simply loving Krishna? Yes. Every hand should be up. If not, I have not done my job. I have failed. But if you keep coming to the temple, if you keep chanting, and if you keep eating the prasad, you will come to that platform. As you can see, I follow that instruction. Yes, I joined this movement only for the food. Later, everything else, but it was the food. And I have to admit, I travel all over the world. I eat in different Indian people's homes every weekend, all over the world. This food here, special. So don't leave. You don't need to go anywhere else. You have the best restaurant, Govinda's. Yes. What did he say? What did our pundit say?
No, it isn't.
No, it isn't. Oh, because he loves your cooking better. That's all right. Every child loves his mother's cooking. Very good. He's okay. He's still Pandit G. So, Indra and the Surabhi cow came. And Indra now, he's no longer puffed up. And he comes to Krishna. And Indra's wearing his dazzling crown. And he's very opulent. He's the king of heaven. But he comes to Krishna, and he comes very, very privately. And Prabhupada uses the word stealthily. And Krishna is just there, and Indra bows down and offers prayers, admitting that he was proud, admitting that he was wrong. Indra was making his confession to Krishna that, yes, I had become consumed by my opulence and power and prestige as King of Heaven, and I could not recognize you. My Lord, still, I am your servant. You kindly forgive me. So Krishna, he said to Indra, and what he tells Indra is actually good for all of us. And I wish that our government leaders all over the world could listen to what I'm saying right now. So NSA, if you're spying, listen in. It's for you. Krishna told Indra, Indra, you are in your position only because I permit you. You're not independent. I can take away your powers just like that. Don't be puffed up. You can go back. You can be king of heaven, but don't become consumed by egotism. Remember, you're my servant. Try to do things in the proper consciousness. Krishna also told Indra that if I see somebody is getting out of control, drunk with power and opulence, what do? I crush him. I bring him down from his imagined state of superiority and I make him see who he really is. So be careful, Indra, because I can take it away at any time. And that's why Lord Chaitanya, the main deity on the altar in the center, he teaches us that we should always, 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 constantly be thinking that I am simply insignificant, meek, and humble. I must be tolerant. I must give respect to everyone, even the ant. I have to be able to see Krishna is in your heart. Krishna is in your heart. Krishna is in everyone's heart. We're all equal. Group hug. Krishna's in everyone's heart, so there's no reason for anybody to think that I'm this or that. No, we ain't. We're all the same in the sense that Krishna is in my heart, in your heart, in your heart. We're all brothers and sisters with the common father, Krishna. This is the family of Krishna. So the Surabhi cow then came and said to Krishna, I would like to bathe you with my milk, my transcendental milk. And we have a term because in this, do you do milk Abhishek every day or only on special occasions? Yogurt every day? Pretty good. But on Janmashtami, do you do milk? Yeah, see, this is a Pakka temple. They do things the right way. Right on. So the Surabhi cow wanted to bathe Krishna with her milk, Abhishek. And Indra also was told that he should bathe Krishna with the, because Indra came on his elephant, and his elephant in his big trunk carries the celestial Ganges water. So Indra bathed Krishna from the water of his elephant, Ganges water. The Surabhi cow, she bathed Krishna with milk. And then after this, Krishna was awarded a special name. Now, he already has this name, but because this is Krishna's pastimes, it's like a drama. So this is in the drama where Krishna officially gets the name Govinda. Everybody say. Govinda. And Govinda is actually the original name of God. And this word Govinda, everybody say, Govinda, has three meanings. Govinda means one who gives pleasure to the cows. Sometimes when I'm in high schools and colleges preaching, sometimes someone will say, why do you guys worship cows? And I said, it's God's favorite animal. Don't mess. Right? God's a person. Now, here in America, what do we like? Dogs. Right? America, man's best friend. Not you guys. I'm talking about the rest of them. Cats and dogs. So, I once had a boss. I'll tell you a true story. I used to have a regular job. I was doing bookkeeping. And I had a Jewish boss. And he knew I was a Hare Krishna. So he said, you know, you guys are a little nuts, you know, you worship cows. So he thought he was like going to put me down. I said, really? Because I had been to his house and I saw that he had these two big dogs. So I said to him, I said, Jim, you love your dogs, don't you? He goes, oh, yes. And I said, Jim, if I tried to come to your house and kill your dogs, what would you do? I'd kill you. So now you understand how I feel about cows. You understand? He thought his dogs were something to defend. Devotees, they want to defend Krishna's cows. What's the difference? So for America, dog is man's best friend, but for devotees and for Krishna, cow is best friend. Mother cow, holy cow. So Govinda means one who gives pleasure to the cows. Then another meaning, he gives pleasure to the land of Vrindavan. And then the third meaning, one who gives pleasure to the purified or transcendental senses. And that's the science of Krishna consciousness. The science of Krishna consciousness is, right now we have material senses and mind. And we're trying to understand the absolute. So we're trying to do something that is virtually impossible. But the Vedas inform us, when the senses are engaged in the service of the Lord, they no longer remain material. They become spiritualized. Just like, another way to look at it, If you have a hot, not if you have an iron rod, right? Iron rod. It's cold. But you stick that iron rod in a big furnace long enough, that iron rod becomes fire. So your senses, all of your senses, especially your mind, all your senses, when they're completely absorbed in serving Krishna, they're no longer material senses. They're spiritualized. And in ISKCON, we have a phrase, oh, he's fired up. But because his senses are so engaged. Now, when I come to this temple and I see the devotees, Sandamani, and I see the devotees engaged from morning till night, you can see, I can see, they are fired up. Their senses are transcendentalized. So now we will do the worship with the candles. Who will orchestrate that? We need an orchestrator. Did you like the talk? Is okay? Thank you. So everybody can come up taking turns offering the candle, and by off, yes. Oh, I spoke too soon. Anyway, when your chance comes to offer the candles, it is very, very auspicious for you. That's the time to make your prayer. Put in your request. All right. And I'll sing something for us. I'll sing the appropriate song.